Pleasant good morning to you. I'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start with a reading in that passage. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you with us today and hope that you'll open your Bible and look along with us. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, contains all of the truth from God about how we're supposed to live, think, and act, how we can be saved, and we hope that you'll look at what God has revealed to us as well. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. It says, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." We live in a very hectic social climate. Families have little time for each other. Parents often feel like a bus driver. Collapsing into the bed at night is probably more common than not. The evening at home with nothing desperate to accomplish seems to be rare in most families. We're a busy people. And because of this busyness, relationships often suffer. Tempers are short. Patience is thin. We see some problems, but we really don't do anything about them because we're so busy. Even if we admit to the other person we need to make some changes, we seldom know about how to bring about those kind of life-altering changes. As a result, many people in the world, and even many in the church, are not at peace. There's a dark cloud within them that seems to storm just the hint of a problem, and this lack of peace leads to depression, despair, anger, frustration, and sin. Consider what is said in this reading in Ephesians 2. Verse 17 is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 19. "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." Paul is teaching about two groups of people in this context, the Jews and the Gentiles. They were called the circumcised, the Jews, and the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no relationship with God under the Mosaical covenant, whereas the Israelites did. And that served to divide them into two groups. God is the one who raised this barrier that divided them. When he chose the Israelites to be his people, and he separated them from the world. And over the centuries, a hatred between Jews and Gentiles occurred as a result of God's choice. Jesus came preaching peace to both groups. His message was about being at peace with God, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile. "We are reconciled to God in one body through the cross," verse 16 declares. "He broke down the barrier of that dividing wall," verse 14. "By abolishing through his blood the old law of Moses." Both groups are now one in Christ, and so he has created peace even between men. Some folks are desperately hungry for peace in their life. I want to point to some scriptures for the lesson this morning that I think we can all benefit from in understanding the kind of peace that God wants each of us to have. Internal peace is a result of our fellowship with God. If you're lacking peace, maybe you need to more closely examine whether you're in fellowship with God. So I would have you turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Scripture says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The same principle that we examined in Ephesians 2. That when we've been justified and cleansed and considered righteous by God's grace, it is then that we have peace with God. Certainly, this speaks of the condition of our soul. A person who's never entered into the saved fellowship in Christ, or a person who has stopped walking in the light of God, they're neither going to experience a proper internal peace the Scripture tells us about. Their conscience will plague them. They'll always be looking back to a point when they believed that they were right with God and regretting, perhaps, that they have never obeyed the gospel. So the first step of internal peace in our heart is to be justified by obedient faith to God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and in verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." In Christ, we find peace. And Scripture tells us how we get in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3 says we are baptized into His death. It is in Christ that we have this peace with God. We can see this language again in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 17, where Scripture says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, this statement was made to correct the understanding of some who were binding opinions about eating meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. That's the context in Romans 14. But look at what's positively stated about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Most of us recognize quickly and remember righteousness and joy, but we don't always think about peace being in there. Peace is more than a feeling. It is a state of being. So is joy. Neither are a result of external circumstances. They are a state of mind in which we choose to live. Like a person who can choose to be happy or mad, we would all agree with that. We can also choose to live in such a way that we are at peace in our heart. The kingdom of God is peace. Again, if you feel like your life is in turmoil, you're struggling to keep your head above water, perhaps not feeling any internal peace in your life, I would encourage you to consider these passages that would point to our spiritual health. Jesus is our peace. Looking back now to John chapter 14, I want you to see a passage in verse 27. John 14, Scripture indicates some interesting results when we are at peace with God. John 14 and verse 27, Scripture says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now, the context here is speaking of the apostles. Jesus was promising them the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Christ was given to the apostles. I believe that's the same peace we are given when we are obedient to the gospel. But look at the result of Christ's peace in our life. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The word troubled here is translated fearful in the King James. And the word literally means to stir or agitate, as in roll in water, like a boiling water. And this imagery that's translated from that Greek language reminds me of occasions in my life when it just seems everything is boiling in my mind. I feel as I'm just being carried away by the currents of life. My mind is uneasy and agitated and frequently returns to dwell on the same thoughts regarding all my problems and troubles in life. Ever been there? I think we could all say yes to that. If you like to underline, do not let your heart be troubled. It's a choice. Rather than be troubled, we need to depend on God and trust in Him and the salvation that He has promised. And that is the peace of Christ, which God desires each of us to have. I firmly believe internal peace is a result of our fellowship with God. Galatians 5 and 22 says peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Just as love, patience, and self-control are fruit of the Spirit of God within us, so is peace. So if we're not at peace, again, we need to examine our spiritual health. Are we in fellowship with God? Maybe we failed to trust Him as we ought. Another verse I'd have you examine with me is in Romans 8 and in verse 6. Romans 8. Verse 6, it says that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, and it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is unable to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. When our mind is focused, or I'd even say set, on the Spirit rather than the flesh, we receive a result of spiritual life and peace with God, as well as this inner peace, the contentment in life even. Because that's where our focus is. That's what we're setting our mind on. Consider also 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." The King James here says, "Give you peace always by all means." Where the New American Standard says, "Give you peace in every circumstance." The idea of circumstance or means literally refers to a mode or a style. And this is translated a lot of different ways in this verse. The Revised Standard says, "Give you peace at all times and all ways." The Contemporary English says, "He will always bless you with peace." The New King James, "Give you peace always in every way." We can see some translations give no indication of that idea of mode or style, and some do. Always, every way, every circumstance. Paul's wish for the Thessalonians was that God would allow them to lead a tranquil life rather than the life of suffering. Consider the context in this book a moment. or in the letters to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 says that they had received the word in much tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 2:14 says that they endured suffering by their countrymen. 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 3, records Paul encouraging them because of the foretold sufferings and afflictions that have taken place. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, Paul speaks of telling other congregations about the Thessalonians and the perseverance and faith in the midst of their persecutions and afflictions which they endured. The church in Thessalonica was strong and faithful despite some problems a few had. Paul wants them to live in peace, and he prays that God will bring that about in every way, through many modes, in all circumstances. Now, we are correct to read this in application to ourselves. If we're living faithful, overcoming temptations, enduring afflictions without wavering, a resulting peace will be ours. The inner peace at the core of our being and our thinking develops and serves as the foundation upon which everything else in life is going to be built. When our fellowship with God is assured and our soul is at peace with Him, it's a whole lot easier to deal with the hardships that come upon us in life. The spiritual inner peace of the righteous soul will lead to peace even in regards to other relationships. A God-based internal peace will affect our attitude toward others. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14 simply says, verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:22 also teaches the principle of pursuing peace. I think we all realize, if we'll admit it, peace doesn't just happen. You have to pursue peace. We have to be active and put forth effort to achieve and maintain peace. Too often we're not as watchful to maintain peace as we ought. Therefore, a problem will arise that could have been avoided. I just needed to put the dishes in the dishwasher when she wanted me to. Right? We can avoid the problem if we will pursue the peace. Pursuing peace speaks of the timing in which we deal with potential problems. Pursuing peace speaks of the manner in which we relate to each other. All Christians should be those who are pursuing peace. And we're supposed to pursue this peace with all men. So this passage has application to every Christian and their fellow saints in the congregation, and fellow saints in other congregations, and everyone in the world who is not a saint, not a Christian, not a believer of God. We should pursue peace in our marriage. We should pursue peace in our work relationships. We should pursue peace in our families, with adult siblings, with our children. Again, the reason we pursue peace with all men is because God's peace dwells within us. Jehovah is the God of peace. He made peace possible with Him, and as we imitate His Son, we must imitate His pursuit of peace in all of our relationships. This is borne out in the teaching in Scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. They're strictly pointing to fellow Christians. We see that again in 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Live in peace with one another. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 has a little extra in it that I think helps our understanding. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. As a Christian, I am supposed to pursue peace, but you and I both know peace is a two-way street. I can't create peace if the other person doesn't desire peace. It's much more likely that peace will be the result when we're pursuing peace. Even Ephesians 4 and verse 3 says to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A bond is a glue. What holds us together is our peace. Our peace with God and our peace with one another as fellow Christians. We're held together in unity. Now, I have to say at this point in the lesson that God has not promised us peace with others or peace with everyone. And I would point to a passage I've looked at recently in another lesson, Matthew 10, verse 34. He says, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. It is true that Jesus has brought a sword, in that some will oppose us because we stand with Christ. Even families will be torn apart because of belief in Jesus. And that's the truth in this same chapter back in verse 24, 25. We pursue peace, but some who are opposed to Christ or opposed to all of the truth of Scripture will not desire peace. When we're living righteously as a child of God, the inner peace that comes through our fellowship with God and Christ will affect our other relationships, because we're going to have to do what God told us to do, pursue peace. How then do we get peace to grow within us? That's a question I think lots of people would like to know the answer to. Look with me in your Bible at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's read together in verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, I hope you can see there's a whole sermon right there in that little reading. And there's many things in that verse set that's worth a lot of contemplation and consideration privately. It's a great study. I'm going to touch on it a little bit this morning. We need to pray to God. How do I get this peace to grow? I need to pray to God. Casting our cares upon Him. As we mature in our understanding of God's will and how we implement His will in our life, we have to come to trust God more and more. So rather than trying to be anxious about everything, trying to fix everything ourselves, we've got to turn things over to God. and trust Him in His way, in His thinking. The more we trust Him and depend on Him, the peace in our heart will grow. If as a Christian the inner peace we should have is not present, I would urge you to consider this passage many times. We must be a prayerful people. In James 4 and verse 4, it says that you do not have because you do not ask. The context in James is speaking of quarrels among brethren and the pursuit of their own lusts. When all we're doing is trying to handle things by ourselves, we usually make a mess of it, don't we? We have to cast our cares upon Him, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 7. When we have this proper prayerful attitude and habit in our life, then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You want peace in your mind, peace in your heart? You need to be praying to God. I think another avenue through which we can grow God's peace within us is revealed in our text in verses 8 and 9. What are we thinking about? Those who are anxious for everything, they allow their minds to dwell on their problems. When you know someone who struggles with depression, when you talk to them about what they're depressed about, it's the same stuff over and over and over. Every single time they're having a problem, it's all, they're dwelling on the same thoughts over and over and over. Well, I've done some of that myself. You probably have too. We mull things over. We agitate our minds with potential outcomes that probably won't happen. And we struggle to think of anything else. Paul gives us a great list here. God gives it to us through Paul. About the types of things we're to let our mind dwell on. If you want the peace of God to be with you, then you need to practice the things that God has told us. Philippians chapter 4. In this way, our inner peace will grow. A couple of pages over in my Bible is Colossians 3 and in verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." I'm going to say just as simply as I can, if you want to grow in peace, you've got to let or allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Not just accept it, you've got to let it rule. We have to give ourselves completely to Him. Our commitment to His will must be full. His way must rule in our heart. That would include our mind. The more we allow His peace to rule, the more I am going to be at peace. If you are 99% at peace, but you've got this one recurring sin in your life, you are not at peace because you've not let His peace rule by following what He tells you to do. Christ's peace in our heart becomes the stabilizing center of our whole life, who we are. The Hebrews had a very common saying that you can read in the Old Testament several times. It's the word shalom in Hebrew. In the New Testament, it's translated, "Peace be with you." And it's stated several times in Scripture. Very simple meaning. After His resurrection, Jesus said this to His disciples three times in John chapter 20, verses 19, verses 21, and verses 26. "Peace be with you." Jesus desires that we be at peace. Peace with God. And that we have a sense of inner peace within us. I'd like to end the lesson with the reading in John chapter 15 and in verse 7. John 15, beginning in verse 7. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Does the peace of God dwell within you? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you remain the enemy of God. Scripture says Jesus is our peace. He made peace possible between us and God through his blood sacrifice on the cross. Our sins can be forgiven, and we can stand justified by obedient faith, resulting in our peace with God. If your heart's full of grief over guilt of sin before God, I encourage you to seek peace with him. Because you believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sin and confess that he is the Son of God before men. And be baptized into Christ, washing away your sins. And the peace that we've been studying about can be yours today at this very moment. Some Christians are also lacking peace. After they've been baptized, they're lacking peace. We have to examine ourselves to determine if this is a result of my sin. That's got to be the first step. It's not God's desire that we be anxious and full of concerns. His peace is fruit that is born in the lives of the faithful. Perhaps the peace in your heart is not as full as Scripture indicates. It should be. Maybe you realize you've not been trusting in God as fully as you ought. If you see where you're lacking as his child, I would encourage you to repent and seek God's forgiveness and begin walking as God would require us. If you desire for your joy to be made full, I encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation. Let's come forward now as we stand and sing.